As I go into our message, as I said, I do want to focus on July 4th, because it is July 4th weekend. We'll observe that holiday tomorrow. Many of you have off of work, I'm sure. Most of you probably, but that's something we're going to do as a family as well, observe that holiday. And as I was thinking about this, and I wanted to use this Sunday for this purpose, it fits in naturally as you kind of look at it, the calendar and what you're preaching on. This Sunday is always pretty easy for me anyway, because it's usually something theme towards July 4th. And I'm not sure how many times I've used this passage preaching, not just on a July 4th Sunday, but just in general. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'll read verse 1 through 12, but this portion of Deuteronomy is one that I've come back to many times and use a lot. It's quoted by Jesus as the most important commandment there is, so maybe that's part of it, but I've not counted. This Sunday marks 9 years that Jess and I have been here, and Lily, and then we added Leah while we were here. But this Sunday is 9 years we've been here, and I should go back and count how many times I used this passage, because I find that I use it a lot. So I originally titled the message, History Matters. But when I use the word history, some of you are like, yeah, gosh, here we go. He's going to have this date and that date, and it's going to be all boring stuff. And maybe you had a boring history teacher in school, and that word, like history, maybe sometimes conveys something that's boring. So I thought I'd change it. But what I change it to is not probably any more exciting: the discipline of remembrance. But I used that word purposely because we use that language in the church, the discipline of prayer or Bible reading, or we don't do it as much, but fasting, the discipline of tithing, giving, things like that, because it's kind of muscle memory. We just keep doing this over and over again. You know that if you're working out or exercising or whatever, it's got to be a discipline, because you got to discipline yourself to do it. Then it becomes natural and you keep doing it, and it creates muscle memory, and your muscles like, oh yeah, I used you last week. And you know, if you haven't worked out in a while, your muscles are like, what are you doing? Because you're sore the next day. Well, remembrance is kind of like that, actually. If we don't do it, we're going to forget about it. We're going to lose the habit of doing it. And actually, Moses is going to say, I'm just picking up on a principle that Moses gave to Israel that I think is important for anybody and for everybody. He's going to pick up on this principle in terms of getting a people group, a nation, ready to go into the promised land. So remembrance itself is like a discipline. Us remembering at one time, that was a pretty important subject in school that you would learn, history, things like that. But why I think I'm right about this is when you go to your July 4th picnic, maybe you did it yesterday, maybe you're doing it today, maybe you're actually doing it on July 4th. When you go to it, you're probably going to be barbecuing, you're going to make something on the grill, and you associate July 4th with that, with the picnic, family get-togethers. Maybe there's a certain place you always go on July 4th. Maybe families use it as a family reunion type thing. And it's usually about food and, as I already mentioned, a day off. You're like, all right, July 4th, I get tomorrow off. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Some people like to, and will do this for July 4th, and they'll dress up in red, white, and blue. This morning, I was going to put a black shirt on, and I thought, you know what, Jess is going to yell at me because I don't have something blue, red, or white on, so I'll do that. I think Lily got yelled at this morning for not choosing something patriotic colors. Jess's mom does this. Jess's grandmother did this. Some of you do this. You're dressed in that. Because you're being patriotic. That's what July 4th is. I bet none of you are reading the beginning part of the Declaration of Independence, probably, at your July 4th holiday picnic or whatever. At one time in our nation's history, that was something that was done. There would be public readings of that. And maybe you'd be bored out of your skull for that, but it didn't matter. You go and you take your kids and you'd go to the town square or whatever, and there'd be a public reading. Much of what we do today for July 4th is not actually the discipline of remembrance of why it is we celebrate July 4th. Actually, 2026 will be 250 years since the Independence Day of 1776, as we observe as our Independence Day. And so when you lose out on some of that discipline of remembrance, you start forgetting what it is we're doing, why we're doing it, and actually start forgetting who you are as a people. Now, this is important for us as individuals. If I stand up here and I share my story with you, my testimony, or just my life, I got to go back and recall history. All the bad stuff, all the good stuff, all the things I'm proud of, all the things I'm ashamed of, all of it, if I'm telling you this today, speaks to the person I am now. I use all of that to train my children as well. All of my past and all of my history, and I share some of that with them. And that's an important thing that we do as people. You shouldn't just forget the past. You should actually learn things from it. And if you forget certain things about your past, you might repeat some of those things. You might make some of those same mistakes. You might not realize that bad thing that happened actually helped to form you into the person you are today. And so we as people, as individuals, know the past is important. So we have this discipline of remembrance. Actually, we even go to therapy to kind of walk through and process the past because we know it's not a good thing to suppress it and push it away and think, well, I should think on those things. I shouldn't bring that back up because that's going to be a detriment to me. But actually, counseling and therapy is like, no, we got to do that so that you can move forward in a healthy way, so that you can flourish. Now, we do that as families, too. There's certain traditions that we have as the Rathmans that we always do. And I did it when I was a kid. My parents did it when they were a kid. My girls do it as their children. And it's stuff we pass on to help them realize this is who we are as families. You probably have different traditions than I have. There's different things your family has done that has created the family that you have. And those are important things because we like to know where we came from, why we do the things that we do. I mean, that's why Ancestry.com and you licking some Q-tip and putting it in a plastic bag and sending it away for somebody else to have your DNA. We want to know about our family tree. We want to know about our past because somehow where we come from helps to inform who we are and where we're going. So that's true of us as individuals. That's true of us as families. And I'm suggesting to you that that's true of us as people groups and as nations. The discipline of remembrance, remembering the past and trying to forget it, to suppress it, is actually unhealthy. And what Moses is going to point out to Israel, it's actually detrimental to you thriving and flourishing as human beings. And so this morning, as I share this passage with you, that's kind of what I want us to be thinking about, this idea of remembrance and how important that is to actually informing our lives now and going forward. But I want us to think about that on kind of a grand scale, kind of a national scale. That was the point of what they used to call the Glorious Fourth, which was to remember where we came from. To remember what made us different. Not made us better than everybody else, but made us different. We're a different kind of nation, made up of lots of different people. When I go to India, I'm with this tribe. They speak their language. They have their particular dress. I showed you some of that when I got back. They have their culture. 15 minutes down the road, there's another tribe, very has a different language, different way of dressing, different culture. They do different things, and 15 minutes from them, all over the planet. When I go to Liberia, we'll be with this tribe. They speak the Bassa language. I'll go to a different tribe. They speak a different language. And for much of human history, that created strife and division. And in Liberia, there was a time where we couldn't actually go and visit our churches because of a civil war. People killing other people because they sounded different, they looked different, they were from a different tribe. We've had to now, for almost 250 years, we've had to figure out how to live together being very different. And for a long time, we've had some great success. That's not to say there weren't some flaws. There weren't some things that needed to be changed. And you know some of those things because we have classes called history that teaches us those things. Getting rid of those things doesn't help us. Confronting those things, processing them together as a people, as a group, does. And so one of the challenges we've had to wrestle with since the inception of this country is living together with people who are all created to be equal, that we as Christians understand as image bearers, created in the image of God. And so no government, no tribe, no people group can assign you your worth. God has already done that because you're a part of the human species. You have value, you have worth, and that's worth defending and fighting for. And for a long time within this particular country, and Lily and I are reading a book right now all about the Puritans, the Pilgrims, and coming over here. And coming over here for the sole purpose of being able to express their faith in the public square. And what that looked like and what that meant, and then providing that for anybody else who came here. A lot of what we understand to be true about the world in which we live, our particular corner of planet Earth, we call the United States of America, derives itself directly from the pages, lots of quotations from the scriptures, and in a large way from Deuteronomy. And so the discipline of remembrance I'm suggesting to you is essential for any people group to live and flourish. Now, for us as a group of people that have lived in a way that has given voice to and allegiance to God, who has revealed himself in the scriptures, when you say the Pledge of Allegiance, you are invoking God in that. And I want to suggest to you that the country in which we live in currently doesn't change without the help of God. We live in a pretty wonderful place. As broken as it is, maybe you've been in different parts of the world. I definitely have. It's a wonderful place to live. It's a wonderful place to raise my family. It's not without its difficulties and flaws, and it's not without a lot of problems that I'd like to see changed. But I know that that doesn't happen without the help of God. And so it's important for us, as we remember and celebrate the 4th of July and independence, what that actually means. What that means is not that we've been perfect. What that means is not that we have our own flaws, that we have our own sins, that we have our own mistakes, that we're not going to make any more going forward. But pretending like that doesn't exist, and we should forget about that, we should not teach it, we should suppress it, is actually an unhealthy thing to do. We would never tell somebody not to go seek counseling to help them work through some of their past. In fact, there's lots of people in that now because they tried to forget, but they can't. You have to process it and work through it. And so suppressing that as a person is not healthy. Suppressing that as a nation is even worse. Moses says it in this way, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 12. Moses is preparing a people group to enter this land that God had promised. A long time ago, God promised this. These people weren't even alive when God promised this. And now Moses is preparing them. He's saying, here's the most important thing you need to know when you go to this new place to live. When I make out of you a great nation, here's what you need to remember. Here's what you need to teach. Here's the thing that should be on the first thought of your in your mind should be this. And Moses is not talking about training the greatest fighting force that human history has ever seen. They have to go and take this land. There's enemy people there. But Moses doesn't say that this is the most important thing that you need to know or remember. He actually says something very different, but he reiterates and underscores the be careful and do not forget. So he begins this way, and as I said, this should sound familiar to you. From Deuteronomy chapter 6, Jesus quotes this. I've quoted it many times. It's actually been quoted in some of the founding documents that we have in some of the founding institutions engraved in stone in different places. Moses says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. The one that was promised to you. You're getting ready to go in there, and God said he's going to make a nation out of you. And he says, these are the things that I'm supposed to teach you so that you, those of you who are hearing this and listening to it right now, your children, the ones who are going that don't get this, and their children, the ones who aren't even alive yet, so that all those generations after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, that you may enjoy long life in this land that he's going to give them. Do all these things so that this happens for you. And he says, hear, Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey. It's just a way of saying abundance. It's a fertile land, and these are primarily farmers, and it's going to be a land where you'll be able to produce in abundance. Just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. God promised this a long time ago. And you need to know those stories and those promises for what I'm saying to make sense, Moses is saying to them. And he says, remember this. This is called the Shema. That's the word in Hebrew, Shema. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the Hebrew is basically saying, he's not just your God, Israel. He's actually God of everything and God of everyone. And that's important to remember. Because that is true, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. That's what Jesus said in the New Testament when he was questioned on which is the greatest commandment. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Moses says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children and repeat them so often that they become engraved. It's like it's engraved on their hearts. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your heads and unbind them on your foreheads, which they physically actually did later on in some Jewish communities. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates, and they actually, archaeology discovered some houses and gates that actually had these things written on them. They took it very literally. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, this is what Moses is telling a generation that was not alive when God made that promise, that covenant with Abraham. And again, he uses to conjure up some stories that they should have heard growing up as kids about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. The land that God swore to them, your ancestors, a land with large flourishing cities that you did not build. Houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide. Wells you did not dig. And vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This is the discipline of remembrance. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Because if you do, we know bad things will happen. We read it in Israel's history. Remember that the land you're walking into that is very prosperous and abundant, those wells where you're drawing water from, you didn't dig them. God provided them for you. Those olive groves and those vineyards that are planted and are flourishing, you didn't do that. God graciously gave that to you. This promise that I made to Abraham from your ancestry, I've been faithful to that promise. What you need to remember is the God that revealed himself to Abraham is the God that is walking with you into this land. Do not forget me, God says. Verse 13 talks about the worship of the one true God and not the pagan gods around them. And as you read on there, he talks about their sacrifices and rituals. This is things you do to remember. So every year on Independence Day, they had a celebration of some kind to remember. And they had this festival, this ritual, so as to remind themselves and teach their children. Why do we got to go to the public square to hear this? So that you remember all the people that gave a lot so that you could live where you live and have the freedoms and the liberties that you have. See, forgetting causes a big problem. We think all that matters is from when we're born and moving forward. That all the people in the past were messed up, broken, somehow worse than us, and that we should just throw everything off and we start new today. We're going to make history today. And all that stuff before is either meaningless or it's actually worse than that. We should be ashamed of all of it. Moses says that's an unhealthy way to think about life. Especially unhealthy for us as individuals and all the more so as an entire people group, as an entire nation. I'm not substituting us, the United States of America, for Israel. I'm suggesting to you that if as a nation you acknowledge the one true God, it's going to go better for you as a people. That has played itself out throughout human history and certainly has played itself out here in the United States of America. It has gone better for us than in other places, not because we're somehow better than other people, but because we acknowledge certain truths about reality, about human nature, about where we came from, about where all this is going, and how we know what is right and true and good. And the more we walk away from that, the more we forget all of that and pretend it never happened, the darker and bleaker and more broken it's going to get. See, I have no problem talking about that as a Christian who happens to be an American. We sang some hymns that are in the hymnal this morning that are basically hymns you sing on July 4th in churches. There are churches who will not sing any of those hymns. You wouldn't believe some of the controversy over just having that sitting in a sanctuary. Just a flag that's in the sanctuary. Churches that will not put it in there and churches that think I'm wrong for letting it be there. I don't think it helps us as a nation to pretend like God isn't an important part of our past. And if we want to see things different and change, needs to be an important part of our future as well. In fact, Moses tells Israel, it's the most important thing you need to remember. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That was true of Israel. That's true of any nation that chooses to recognize God as the one true God, that chooses to set up a system that other people have to live by, that is not predicated on power and what language you speak and what family you came from and what color skin you have, but based upon the fact that we're all created equal. And God has given us certain liberties that nobody can take from us because they're given to us by God. And one of those is the right to life. That's in those founding documents. And we've believed that for a long time. And again, I made mention of this last Sunday, and the Supreme Court decided and recognized and righted a wrong that they made, that somewhere in our founding documents, they figured out that it was right and okay, and it was actually a benefit and a right to end a child's life. And that was overturned, and they recognized that the first right, the right to life, is given to us by God and can't be taken from any person or any government. That's our history. That's worth celebrating. That's worth passing on to other generations. That's worth understanding. Now, as we lived and limped along, there were lots of mistakes. One of the most evil things in human history was the institution of slavery that was ended. Didn't mean people stopped being racist. Didn't mean people stopped treating other people unjustly. But what we said was, it's not going to be a part of who we are. And so we killed each other, brothers, uncles, fathers, and sons, to say it's not going to be a part of who we are, and close to ripping apart a nation. And it's black, and it's dark, and it's sad, but it helped us to get to where we are today. And it's helped other nations as well. This passage of Scripture, as I'm closing here, reminded me of something I read in a biography. A biography written about John Adams, but within that biography, there were lots of letters that went back and forth from John and Abigail, his wife. And this letter that she said when she was writing to John stuck with me and made me think of this passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy. Abigail said to her husband, John, as the Declaration of Independence was signed and written, and things were not going well, if you know American history with the Revolutionary War, something Abigail Adams said that happens when you forget the past. She said to John, posterity, that's all of us, the people that would come after us, Abigail says, who are to reap the blessings, will scarcely be able to conceive the hardships and sufferings of their ancestors. We have reaped the blessings of what other people have sown and sacrificed. God said to Israel, you're going to come into a land, to flourishing cities that you didn't build, houses filled with good things that you didn't provide, wells with water that brings life to you and to your animals and to your crops you didn't dig, vineyards and olive groves that are going to flourish that you didn't plant. When you go there, don't forget where it all came from. Now, we as Christians believe it all comes from God. And we celebrate another holiday we call Thanksgiving, in which we recognize all that we have is a gift from God. But there were also many people that passed things on to us that were gifts. The liberties that you and I now enjoy that so much of the world does not, the freedoms that you and I enjoy that so much of the world does not, were given to us and secured by people who are long gone, people who gave great sacrifice. And to pretend that history doesn't matter dishonors their memory, dishonors what God has done through their lives to make this place, though as flawed as it is, a good place. One of the things that I do is, I don't know if you know this about me, when my children found out, they were traumatized. My real name's not Ted. I've been living a lie. No, my nickname is Ted, or when I was growing up, Teddy. My real name is John Theodore Rathman. My social security number is what? No, I'm not going to tell you that. But my nickname is Ted. When I was a kid, that's what they called me. My mom liked Teddy, so that's what they would call me, and Ted, and it stuck. And so that's what everybody knows me by. That's how I introduce myself. But my full name is John Theodore Rathman. My mother's father, his name is John. My father's father, his name was Theodore. So they gave me John after him and Theodore after my dad's dad. And so whenever I sign my name, I don't sign it Ted Rathman. I sign my full name, John Theodore Rathman. On any document that I sign, any official thing, anytime I'm making a signature, I sign both their names in my last name because I'm trying to do the discipline of remembrance in my own life. It's my small way of honoring my mom's dad and honoring my dad's dad. Because I've benefited from those two men raising my mom and my dad. And so because I've been blessed as a result of that, my own little way of honoring them is signing both their names. For me, it's a discipline of remembrance to say, I came from somewhere. Those men sacrificed, and their wives. My grandparents sacrificed for my mom and for my dad. And I'm the person I am today because of them, but also because of their parents. And I didn't have the pleasure of knowing my great-grandparents, but the same is true for them. And so in a small way, I'm trying to, in my own family, in my own life, recognize that there's a lot of blessings that I have that I know ultimately come from God. And I'm thankful that my parents and my grandparents both lived in ways that they sought to honor God. Or if nothing else, at least acknowledge who He is. And I've reaped that benefit. And I'm suggesting to us, as people, as a country, as a nation, that if we don't do that, our future isn't going to be very bright. Human flourishing and thriving as people is not forgetting all that, but recognizing it, appreciating it, being grateful for all the people who have secured so much for us, and learning from their mistakes and trying to be better for it. And the way we do that as a nation is not by rejecting all those things that we know are true, that are plastered all over our institutions, that are coming directly from the scriptures, and pretending that it doesn't matter. It does. If we want to see a difference in our world, in our lives, it's because we reignite this discipline of remembrance. I've been preaching about a lot of difficulties we have in our country, things that I'd like to see be different. But as we celebrate 4th of July, as you do that, maybe today or tomorrow, and I'm going to do this, be appreciative and grateful for the United States of America. As flawed as she is, it is a great place to live. It is a wonderful place to raise our children. And if we want to see it continue that way, it's not to disengage. It's to keep doing what people long before you and I have done and sacrificed and gave great cost to themselves to secure a bright future for their children and their children's children. So this 4th of July holiday, do something to remember. If for nothing else, in your prayer, before you have a meal together, before you have that wonderful barbecue, thank God for this nation and the people that helped to secure its liberties. And also pray to God that He will heal our land. In 2 Chronicles, I read it this morning for the first service, God tells Solomon after he's built this temple and built the royal palace, if my people would humble themselves and turn from their evil ways and cry out to me and ask for forgiveness, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. That's true of anybody. God will do that in your life. God will do that in your family. And I believe God will do that if together we cry out to him, ask for his forgiveness, and ask that he would heal our land. That happens because we continue to remember. We came from somewhere. And our future is only as bright as we look back so that we can make sense of where we came from and look forward to create a world in which is thriving and flourishing. It's possible. You and I have lived it. And it can continue if we choose to acknowledge God and don't lose this discipline of remembrance. God can do amazing things. And he can heal us, and he can heal our land. Let's pray. God, we are grateful this morning for all that you have done in this world. And Lord, as we've gathered here this morning on this July 3rd Sunday, in this nation as Americans, we're grateful for all that you've done in this country as well. God, I give you thanks this morning for the liberties that have been secured, the freedoms that we enjoy, the place that we call a home that is a wonderful place. And I give you thanks for the many people that made that happen, the many who gave so much, sacrificed so much to make that happen, Lord God. Ultimately, Lord God, we are grateful and thankful to you for providing those blessings and that abundance. And now, Lord God, as we face many challenges within our nation, as we face many difficulties, Lord God, we cry out to you on behalf of the United States of America and ask, Lord God, that you would indeed forgive our sins. We know, Lord God, that they are many and they are great, but we know also, God, that you lavish your grace and you pour out your love and forgiveness abundantly. And so we ask for that, Lord God. We pray and cry out and that you would hear our voice from heaven and that you would heal our land. God, help us this morning as we close our time of worship to remember, to be grateful, to be thankful, and God, to be willing to sacrifice and give so we too can secure the freedoms and the liberties that we've enjoyed for our children and our children's children. God, with you, all things are possible. With you, nothing can stand against us. And so we don't go in our own strength or our own might, but we go with you, the God who can do all things, the God who can give life where there is no life, the God who can make gardens from where there are graves. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.